God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Martyrs' Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity.
And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes.
And I walk in your faith.
I wash my hands in innocence.
And go around your altar, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
Do not sweep my soul away with sinners.
Nor my life with bloodthirsty men.
But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity.
Redeem me and be gracious.
My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly I will bless the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and said to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God today is Jesus' rebuke of St. Peter in reading from St. Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said to him, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." The things of God. How about that for a topic of conversation with Jesus? Not the weather or sports or politics, but the things of God. That sounds deep, impressive, weighty, doesn't it? No small talk, no fluff here. Jesus cuts right to the chase. These things, God's things, are what matter most. They're what all spirituality and every religion seeks after. So what are they? What are the things that reveal the mind of God to us? How does he make himself, his way, known to us? The things of God are these: suffering, death, and resurrection. It all comes down to the cross. Everything that God has for us and every good thing that he wants to give us hangs on that. All theology centers on the cross. And not only does the cross leave its mark on Jesus, a permanent mark, I might add, but it also makes a deep and lasting impression on the life of every single Christian. Indeed, apart from the cross, there is no glory for him or for us. Earlier, in Matthew chapter 16, in last Sunday's gospel reading, St. Peter made a great confession about who Jesus is. Speaking for the disciples and for the whole Christian church, past and present, he confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was right. That's exactly who Jesus is. But Peter didn't come to that on his own. He didn't learn it from any other man. No, it was revealed to him by the Father in heaven. Today's reading adds more detail to that confession. It teaches and reveals what Christ had come to do against every thought and expectation of man. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed on the third day and raised. But that's standard stuff, isn't it? Perhaps we even greet it with a yawn. Jesus' suffering and death in Jerusalem are old news, and his resurrection, they're Bible basics. We learned that way back in Sunday school. So can't you say something new? Jesus, but this is new. At least it was new, it was to St. Peter and the other disciples. New and entirely unaccepted. The Christ shouldn't have to suffer and die. It was unthinkable. What about the kingdom and the glory and the power? What about the miracles? Storms calmed, the sick made well, the hungry fed, the dead raised. Wasn't that what Christ had come to do? Because that's what they thought the disciples had to put new things that Jesus Christ had told them. It didn't fit their idea of Christ. That explains Peter's response. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." The God that Peter wanted shouldn't have to do with suffering and death. Indeed, Peter was determined and ready to preach Christ and him not crucified, even to Jesus. We get it, don't we? Peter and the other disciples had left everything to follow Jesus. They'd left their business, their homes, their friends, their families. They hadn't signed up for this suffering, dying, and raising stuff. The Christ was supposed to end the suffering, not participate in it. He was supposed to win the victory, not end up dead. So Peter decided to put a stop to it. No more crosstalk. None of this dying business. To tell the truth, it's what I would have said to Jesus also. After all, who wants to hear about suffering, dying, and rising? Who really wants to follow a God like that? Jesus didn't clear this teaching with the outreach, marketing, or public relations departments beforehand. There's nothing attractive or appealing about what he says. But Jesus isn't fazed. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance, a stumbling block to me. For you aren't setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Our Lord won't be turned aside from Jerusalem, not by Satan and not by Peter. He really didn't care what Peter thought about him. And he doesn't care what you think about him. He doesn't care what you think he should or shouldn't do. Doesn't care what you expect from him or how you feel about what he says. He isn't asking for advice or suggestions or help from you. Sure, it's harsh, but the things of man have been a failure ever since Satan put off the first temptation in the Garden of Eden. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts, nor are his ways man's ways. Jesus' glory comes only through suffering and cross. So it is for us who follow Jesus. He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We'll let Jesus take his cross and carry it. There's apparently no stopping him. But why should I have to take up the cross too? I certainly don't want that in my life. Isn't that what Jesus came for anyway? Didn't he take his suffering and the cross so that I don't have to? Yes and no. His cross doesn't take away all our suffering here and now, but it does give purpose and meaning to our suffering. We don't suffer alone. Death doesn't get the final say. His cross also promises that they will come to an end, to a glorious and heavenly end. So this is about your suffering, dying, and rising too. This is about your cross and what the cross we take up. Not the cross of salvation, only Jesus carries that cross, but the cross of love. The cross was given to you in holy baptism, as you were signed with the holy cross on your forehead and on your heart, and marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried before him with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So to follow Jesus is to be baptized into his death. It is to be joined to him by baptism in his suffering, death, and resurrection. Your suffering and death can't save you. They are just the wages of sin. They are what sin pays out in you. There is no life there, but Jesus' suffering and death led to resurrection and life. And baptized into his suffering and death, you come into a life that can't have your own, into a new, endless, holy life. Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" The answer is clear: nothing. It profits nothing to gain the whole world but lose your soul. There is nothing that we can give in return for our soul. for the suffering and dying and rising stuff. No, it is. Is it that we love Jesus so much that we don't want him to suffer? Or is it that we love ourselves so much that we don't want him to suffer for us to be our Savior? Hear the call today of our Lord, who saves in no way except the cross. As he lived and died and lives again for you, so you now, having died and risen in baptism, live for him and for others. We take up the cross and use it against our sinful desires, the devil's temptations, the enticements of the world. And we take up the cross in our daily lives for the sake of our neighbors, for it calls to love and to serve others rather than ourselves. Deny yourself. Be concerned with the people around you. You see, the old sinful nature needs the cross. It needs to be weighed down, crushed, killed with all sin and evil desires. For the Lord tells us how the things of God end, where all the cross-bearing leads, what it means for him and for us. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What starts with the promise of his cross, of suffering, ends with the promise of his glorious coming. It's through the cross that Jesus enters into glory, and it's through that same cross that he makes that glory yours. Have you been baptized? Then the cross and the glory of Jesus have been given to you, are yours, and will take you through your crosses in the endless world to come. And so, our minds are not set on the things of man, but on the things of God. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
Lord, I say, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God and all who proclaim the Word of God, that we may forsake those who despise God's word and always hold fast to what is precious, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for Pastor Ed Schneeflock, his studies, and his service among us, and at Christ Lutheran in Troy, that the Lord would grant him good health and strength to serve as pastor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the seminaries of our church body in St. Louis and Fort Wayne, for all the students, faculty, and staff, that the Lord would prepare and send laborers into the harvest field, for the harvest is great, but the workers are few, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially for Rachel, Ashley, that they would have the support and help needed at all times for their safety and for the health of their babies. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord to make holy to himself the hours of our days, the tools of our callings, our hands, our bodies, and our minds, that he has brought us for this, for his own, he would sanctify us and all that we are for the good of this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in our time and the peace that God alone can give, especially for all who grieve, that they might know the peace, including the family and friends of Robert, Paul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Evelyn, Keith, Shannon, Isaac, Judy, Tabitha, Alan, Bernie, Angela, Dan and Patty, Eleanor, Graham, Jorma, Karen, Kristen, Lorinda, Martha, Melanie, Rick and Therese, Teddy, Tommy, Tony, Verity, and all in need of healing and restoration, that they may bear their crosses and endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And with thanksgiving for hearing our prayers on behalf of Betty, that her health might continue to improve, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those persecuted for the name of Christ, that in communion with all the saints, we may bear our crosses faithfully. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Give us grace, Holy Father, to work hard and well, to bless this world with our hands and muscles. Work with us until the work is done. What you know that we need, grant us. Support us until the morning comes, and we enter the reward your Son earned for us until the great day of his glory, when we will be holy to you forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.